Good morning, everybody. Good morning on this Wednesday morning. The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Hold on. Tell you what, I thank the Lord for healing me. I really do. The Lord has been so good. I want to start off today and tell everybody that we have opened up a new semester at the Bible College. For those of you that missed the first sign up for the first semester, we are opening up again. It begins February 3rd. It's a 6-week class, and it only has limited seats. So you can go to our website, go to the events page, and you will see the sign-ups there. It's very, very important. This will be one of the greatest investments you can make in yourself in this hour, because this class, the identity class, is causing the people to dig deep into their heart to get ready for what is coming. And I'm going to read you a couple of things. Because each week they have to read the text out of the textbook and they have to give like evaluations. So I'm going to read you a couple of evaluations of what they've learned so far, and then I'm going to read you a couple of life stories. Because each one of these students, they share their life, and basically I'm mentoring them. But really, I'm just an outside person, you know. I'm an outside person looking in at their life and coming from a pastor standpoint and from a corporate communications. I'm looking at the big picture of who this human is before God, and I'm praying, you know, because God has a destiny for every one of these people. And yesterday I was reading some, I was doing grading the homework yesterday, and I started bawling. I was weeping before the Lord about the greatness that God has sent me. I'm reading these women's stories, and I see why they love me so much, because my life, they can relate to it. You know, the struggles I've had, the failures I've had, but I've overcome them. And this is what they want. They want to overcome. And, but I can totally relate to these women. And, because I don't have any men in that first class, you know. But I was here in the office yesterday and I was just weeping. I was like, God, I'm so honored. These women have been through so much, and now in their later years, you know, these women are pausing, like pause, okay, and being strong enough to relook at their life, you know, because you guys are never too old to change. Never, never, never. I remember when I went to secular college when I was 41 years old, and people thought I had lost it. Why are you going back to school and you're so old? And I told them, because I know I have to change because technology is changing. And so that was the best decision. And then when that school offered me to go a whole nother year to get a doctor, I was wore out. I'd already been through 7 years of school, and I didn't want to go another year. And then somebody looked at me and said, here's the thing you need to think about. Would you rather be 50 with a doctor on your name or not? In other words, it's going to be worth it. You just have to keep plowing another year, you know. But the point is, you know, my first graduation, nobody showed up. Nobody supported me. But my second one, after my college sent me to London to study under the top three global firms, when they saw the gifts within me, and then I graduated, you know, and all that stuff, they came to that one, they saw then. So the point is that you cannot withhold because of your age, or because of your lack of education, or because of your lack of understanding. You know, like your past dictating, it cannot dictate your future. Okay, so this identity class is causing them to pause, go in the cocoon with Jesus, and allow him to pull some roots up, which hurts because their trees are getting pruned, you know. But the beauty of the holiness that's going to come out on the other side, this is why I was weeping. I was weeping yesterday. I even told Dennis, he come over here, and I was like, Dennis, these women that I have in this class, I want to serve them. You know, these are powerful women. And so I read him a couple of their stories. So here we go. This is what one lady said about what she learned in this week's text. Because the book is on organic Christianity, and it's about dropping the processed religion of what we learned and learning organically, okay? So it goes back to the garden, because that's where relationship began, with God, within the garden. So we're going back, and remember Jesus, when Jesus was raised from the dead, you know, he just come back from hell, where he got the keys and walked right into the garden. That's because Jesus opened up the way for us to be able to have relationship with God again, just like we did in the garden. And that's what this textbook is about. So this person said, we have choices, just like Adam and Eve had with the tree of good and evil. We must pray for discernment as we make our way through this journey here on earth. We need to eat the word of the living God, and not that of the world through TV and social media, which does not help us to come closer to Jesus. We need to be sure the roots of our tree are not rotten. We must allow and surrender to Jesus to heal our temples. I love how you put it in chapter 6 about water being the essence of life, and we must consume it daily, just as we need to consume the living word daily. Salvation is a supernatural experience. When I gave my life to Jesus, I saw him sitting on a throne, all in white, with a burgundy sash. I cried for hours as he washed over me and renewed a right spirit within me. I love planting seeds in the garden and the garden of men. And how you explain hearing and seeing seeds, and the importance of what we listen to and watch, as these are truly our gates that can bring life or destruction over time. Isn't that good? They got an A+. All right, here's another one. I really enjoyed these chapters. I learned how it started with the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and how this tree of knowledge is still here in our present day, in the world and society, and how we are God's trees. We can bear good fruit as to what we let in our eye gate, ear gate, and mouth gate, or we can bear a corrupt tree that will be cut down and burned. These gates are what we receive in from TV, music, education, and politics. How Satan convinced us to tolerate sin so we can enjoy a TV show or a new music video, etc. God says to refrain from all evil. We, the trees of life, need to be connected to the vine, which is Jesus. Isn't this beautiful? and receive the rivers of living waters, and how we must be mindful how our tree receives and releases seeds, such as our mouth seed, our eye seed, and hand seed. It can release life or it can release death. So we must protect our seeds coming in and going out. They got an A plus. All right, now here's a testimony I want to read you. And this is about what happened when they met Jesus. As I look back on my life, I realize over the years that there have been quite a few seeds of salvation planted in my life. But the enemy has a way of keeping us in chains with a veil over our eyes. I became ill on March 19th of 2020, and I thought I had the COVID virus. I was home sick from work for about 2 weeks, which I had never done in all the years I've worked. While sitting at home recovering, a Billy Graham commercial came on TV, which I had seen before, and I found myself taking a picture of the phone number to call about accepting Jesus Christ into my life. That's how I got saved too, was through Billy Graham. And I just noticed that I'm reading your life story, the lady that just signed in. Okay. Upon recovery, I returned to work, albeit still quite weak, but started to take walks after work. I just needed to be out in the fresh air and sunshine. At that point, I had started to listen to faith-based podcasts. On a crystal clear, beautiful afternoon on April 15th of 2020, I was listening to Joyce Meyer, and at the end, she does her typical altar call, which I have heard her do before. I started crying, and I just knew I was ready. It was time. So I walked down to the pier at the marina, and I sat on the dock. I said the sinner's prayer out loud, and I started sobbing. I told him how sorry I was for all the ways that I have sinned against him. I felt an incredible weight being lifted off me. I can honestly say that Jesus is the one who took away a lot of my emotional pain. He broke off those chains and lifted the veil. I could not believe how clearly I began to see things. The truth is His truth. Lord Jesus has not only given me spiritual eyes, but a joy and peace I have never known. Isn't this beautiful? Not a temporary peace. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, Philippians 4:7. I had such a hunger and fire for the Lord and wanted to get baptized immediately, which I did 5 months later on September 19th of 2020. Since coming to Jesus, there's been so many amazing things that have happened. I started noticing crosses all over, especially when taking walks. I would be talking or thinking about the Lord, and I would look down and see a cross etched into the concrete. Another time, I was sitting on my patio after work, talking with the Lord, and I had my eyes closed. It began to very lightly drizzle, and the raindrops, she should be a writer of books, huh? She has a good description, so you can feel where she's at, huh? It began to very lightly drizzle, and the raindrops felt like the Lord was kissing my face. I asked Jesus to show me He is there in nature, since He knows how much I love to enjoy His glory. I opened my eyes and was astonished to see a pulsing double rainbow. It was so close, I felt I could reach out. I didn't touch it. Can you imagine? These type of things are sometimes the way that I have intimacy with Him. And see, that's what you learn in this class is, you know, that organic Christianity is that. It is, it's the real relationship to where you see him everywhere. Okay, you see the beauty of his holiness all around you. So, just as I said, the classes are open for the new semester that begins February 3rd. It's a six-week class. There's only a limited amount of seats. Last time we had a waiting list, so those people that's on the waiting list should be able to sign up for this one. And in Bible college, the classes will be successive. So you will have, all of them will start with the identity, because the identity is who you are. And the purpose of you as a human. The next class, which this class now has only got 3 weeks left, and then they'll be going into the second semester. And that one is going to be going into who Jesus is. That's the tabernacle study. Very going to be so awesome. Then the third semester is who the beast is. That is the image of the beast, logos. So... now that I'm doing this full time, you know, doing these class assignments, my PowerPoint presentations and all that kind of stuff, it's bringing back all these memories of when I used to be a professor. Not a real professor, because I was just a graduate student, but I was still teaching college classes to the undergrad. And doing the things I'm doing now. So it brought back a lot of memories. And I'm just very grateful to the Lord to have the opportunity to sow into you guys' life. And one thing I do ask the people to sign is, whenever they're registering, is the fact that this class is free. There's a fee, but it only covers the books and materials that I need. But the time that I put into this is hours upon hours every week. And I want them to sign and agree, knowing that I'm doing this for free. And so don't waste my time if you're not going to pour yourself into it. You hear what I'm saying? Because I'm pouring myself into you too. You know, this is an investment on both sides. And so I've learned a lot. And these women that are in this first one, you know, they're really stretching yourself. These are professional women that have full-time careers and mamas that are, you know, very busy homeschooling. I mean, these are people that, you know, are not just laying around. These are people that are purposefully, you know, setting the time apart to invest in their self. And I'm really happy about it. So go on the website, GOEM.us, and register. It starts in 2 weeks. I can't believe it, but we're already here. So I'm gonna play a song, and I would like for us to spend a few minutes praying in tongues. And then one thing I noticed about the assignment this week in the Bible college class is that, see, each week those Bible college students have a personal assignment where they have to look at themselves about something, you know. And so one thing that I saw this week was all of the students that have a desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. And I'm believing that God is going to heal these students and fill them by the time they get done with it. So just to remind you that just signed on, we did release the next semester of Bible college starts in 2 weeks. The registration is up on the website. So go there and get signed up, because there is limited seats. All right, so here we go. I'm going to play this song, and I want us to spend a few minutes with the Lord praying. And then when we come back, we're going to open up the prayer lines. For you guys, this is Give Back Wednesday, where you all pour into one another. So you either have a scripture or some type of encouraging word or a testimony. Okay, it's all about you today. All right.
Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray. Come, Jesus, come. Let today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break, but I'm holding on to a hope that won't fade.
All right, glory, hallelujah. I just want to tell you guys as well that after yesterday's sermon, I am so encouraged by 2 Chronicles chapter 20. That was the best thing the Lord could have done for us, man, because for him to let us know that we have the victory in life and in death. We have the victory either way it goes. And who is our God? Who is he? You know, do we believe that he is really God? Because we're going to need to know this in a greater way in the coming days type of deal. And one other thing I want to tell you before I open up the lines is that this weekend I have a very special broadcast Friday night. We're going to have a very busy weekend, okay, because of Trump's inauguration. Friday night, I have an interview with a gentleman who used to be a world champion. I don't know how you say it. Not a cyclist, but a motorcycle rider. And he was a world champion in now he has given his life to full-time ministry, and he travels and preaches and stuff, and he's a part of our family. So we're going to interview him Friday night on a Bride Time Live, and I'm very excited about it because we're going to get to hear his story, and I always love those Bride Time Lives for that. So that'll be Friday night, and then Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, we will be live just about all day. We're going to be covering and watching Trump with a fine-tooth comb, because I believe that we may see, you know, something happen this weekend. I mean, just the way he's doing everything is so suspicious, you know. Doing that rally like we talked about yesterday at that place, the home of the wizards and the mystics, making everyone 20,000 Christians and conservatives walk through the Web3 portal. I mean, you just can't make this up. And then what's going to happen there on the stage? Also, you know, the next day is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, famous for being assassinated, you know, Jr. And then, you know, with Trump, I don't know, just the whole thing is just, we can't miss a thing because we got to stay on top of this. So that's going to be this entire weekend, all the way up till Tuesday. Of course, we will have our class on Monday night. So anyways, I guess we'll go ahead and open up the lines. All right, sister in Texas, what about you? What word do you have for us today? Yo, 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 Texas. All right, she's not on here. All right, what about you, sister?
Oh. You did it again. I'm trying to get things done because I, you know, got things in them. I don't want to miss the show. I'm letting my sister.
Well, if you want me to.
No.
If you want me to come back to you, I will.
No. No, 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 I'm done. I was just letting her cat out. Okay. She's got back problems, so she can't do nothing, my sister. So that's why I'm always doing stuff. Okay. Let me just tell you a little about myself, since I'm not part of the Bible college. I was raised
in
the
spirit. But you can, baby. We have sign-ups in 2 weeks.
I know.
The next class starts in 2 weeks. All right,
we'll talk about the future with me and you.
Yes.
Because I got a couple other projects going on. We also need to pray for... So anyways, I was raised in a basically a spirit-filled home. Very immature believers, though. My parents were never discipled, but they loved the fire of God. One thing we had in the home was tongues. So it was learned. I watched that happen. My dad was always filled with the Holy Ghost and Spirit. But, you know, that was in the 70s, in the 70s, 60s. I think they got filled with the Spirit when I was about 5. But anyways, and it just followed us. Our whole family was under that umbrella. My parents never got into legalism. Like I said, they weren't discipled, but, man, they did have repentance and humility towards God and the Spirit. Having said that, I still come from my mom still struggled because she had a car accident when she was 2. She died, came back to life. So it got rough on me at 15, and so I moved in. My real father was killed when I was 2, so this was my stepfather that raised me. And a great guy. So anyways, my mother never recovered from his death in the car accident. So a lot was put on me as the firstborn of 4 kids. I had an aunt that took care of me when my dad died at 2, and then I moved in with her again at 15. I'll make this real short. I'm running from God. I'm now living high in the world. My aunt was very sophisticated. I learned a lot about art and culture. I went to concerts. I went to art museums. I'd never done any of that. I even had my first Mexican food with her in 1974, I think it was, number 75. She was just the aunt that everybody wanted to hang out with. Well, she took me under her wing. The only requirement she had is I worked and went back to school. And I did. I did anything she told me to do. But I'm still running from God. I don't talk about God. I knew God because I'd gotten filled with the Holy Spirit when I was about 10 years old at Aunt Pat's church in Michigan. So anyways, I meet my boyfriend, who ended up being my husband of almost 50 years. I meet him supernaturally because I wasn't supposed to be there that day, and he wasn't supposed to be there. But he's an agnostic. And I don't know what it is. When people get high, when people get high, they want to talk about God. We were getting high, and but I come from, I guess, me and my sister talk about it. She laughs because she said when she would do something she shouldn't do, she'd throw up. Well, that's called the Holy Spirit conviction, and that's a good thing. Well, he brought up God as an agnostic, guru, you know, New Age kind of thing, and I got really offended, and I told him not to talk about God while we were getting high. And he's such a humble, sweet guy, but he pressured me. He was like really taken back. He's always looking for intellectual thinking, and he was shocked at my behavior. Now, mind you, I'm only 16 and a half, but I've been on my own for a year and a half. But if you met me back then, you would have thought I was close to 30. I was very, very independent. I was heading to New York. I wanted to go into designing. That was my original goal. And God just kept blocking me from everything. So I'm getting high. He brings up God. And I got really offended with him. Long story short, I ran away and locked myself in the bathroom because he wouldn't quit talking about God. He was just trying to figure out. Well, I yell through the door. He's like shocked because this is our only second date. And he knocks on the bathroom door like, this is really weird with this chick. And he's like, you okay in there? And I'm like, you can't talk about God when you're high. He's like, what? And I go, it's the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And he goes, what the heck is that? And he said he sat on the top of the bathroom steps, and he chuckled, and he laughed, and he said to himself, this chick knows something. I got to find out what she knows. Long story short, every demon from hell, everything in the demonic realm and the angels of God were coming for me because within a year, about 14 months, I had come back to the Lord. Having said that, it was such a warfare. That's why I tell people, fight, pray for your loved ones, because if you would have known the war that my mom went through as a backslidden Christian, she was praying for me. What she went through for me to come back to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, nobody could have told me anything. I had become so seared in my heart. Because I knew there was a price to pay. I remember getting high, and I remember telling everybody, I'm never giving up marijuana. And they all said, why? And I said, because if I come to God, I'd have to give it up. And I'm not giving it up for not even God. And then 2 weeks later, I started having allergy reactions, and I could never smoke marijuana again. Are you there? That's funny. Did I lose you?
No, I'm here. I'm laughing. I'm just working I'm working.
Okay, just
talking.
Making sure. Okay, that's fine. So I gave up the marijuana because I was forced to give it up. So anyways, fast forward. Every demon from hell. Oh, and the other thing, I was walking down the beach in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. My husband and boyfriend at the time, we had broken up. Now I'm down there by myself. I'm only going to give you part one of the story. And a woman, a young girl, come running because I'm a beach person. I love water. I was down there by the beach in 1978. She come running out of nowhere, and she stuck a track in my hand, and she took off running. And she almost body slammed me. And long story short, again, I looked at the track, and it was like, Jesus loves you. I went, you've got to be kidding me. And that track, that's another thing I tell people, never underestimate a track or a word or anything, because that it's 50 years later, and I'm still talking about that girl giving me that track. I always told my husband, she ran so fast and stuck that track in my hand and took off, and I know why she did that, because the Lord told her, do not talk to her. She will talk you out of God. Because I was armed and ready. Because I knew at 15 years old, because of my little background, that when you go in, you either go all the way or forget it. And I knew there was going to be a price to pay. And I wasn't ready for it. I just wasn't. So when she stuck that track in me, I was in such a battle, because he's trying to tell me it's time, it's time. So long story short, again, I end up at the beach. My husband always brought this up to me. I'm sitting at the beach. We broke up. I'm wondering if I should stay in Fort Lauderdale, go back to Michigan where everybody's at. I had no desires to go back to Michigan. I was very independent. I had a sports car at the beach. And I said to God, the first time I ever said it, if you get me out of this mess, I will serve you. I really wasn't in a mess. It's just the warfare. Where do I go? What do I do? If I come to you, it's going to cost me everything. I don't know how. My husband goes, how did you know all that at 16, 17 years old? I said, well, that little bit I grew up with, my parents, I watched their struggle of the price that they knew they were going to have to pay, and I must have heard it. And I said it out of my mouth. If you get me out of this mess, I will serve you. Next thing I know, the sun was setting in Fort Lauderdale. Wasn't hardly anybody at the beach. I turned around and looked at my sports car, and there was a man standing there. To this day, I don't know, because angels can't lie, so I've never been able to put the math together. He was looking at my sports car. I was kind of cocky back then. Now, you got to remember, I just come from money and sports cars and high-end stuff, and now I'm struggling. The Lord is slowly stripping me. And I said to the guy, can I help you? Because he was just looking in my window and everything. He said, I noticed your Michigan license plates, and I see the sunroof on this antique sports car. By chance, did you buy this on Telegraph in Pontiac, Michigan, at a Ford dealer? I was so, my mouth just hung open. I said, yes. He goes, you're not going to believe this, but I put that sunroof on this car because it was a classic car. And he goes, I always wanted to buy that car, and I couldn't afford it. I said, okay, well, this is a setup. I said, well, interesting that you said all that. I'm thinking of selling it, getting rid of it, because I may have to go back to Michigan. And he goes, you know what? I have a car that's really nice. If it needs mechanical issues, I'm a mechanic. Would you be willing to do an even trade? That was number one. He even paid for all the signing over, everything. Even straight, we should exchange cars, and I now have a car to get back to Michigan. And when the journey back to Michigan was so demonic and so angelic, everywhere I went, the gas station, the hotel, because I'm only 17 and I'm driving along that way, and the Holy Spirit is pushing and pulling me. I was seeing this guy in Fort Lauderdale that I previously dated prior, who I thought I was going to get married to, but he was an atheist. And the only thing we disagreed on, even though I was in the world, was the religion thing, even though I wasn't serving God. I had stayed with him for those few days. He just was so glad to see me, even though my other brother, boyfriend, we broke up. And he was so against anything supernatural, anything of the anointing. He could not get it. Wonderful human being. He just couldn't get it. That day, after I prayed at the ocean, if you get me out of this mess, I'll serve you. I went to Dan's house to stay with him for a couple of days. And he knew we were trying to figure out, should we get back together? And he's a scuba diver. And he had gone to the ocean later that day. And he still had a gold necklace that I had given him when we previously was dating. And we were really into butterflies. It was just a thing we had between us. He always bought me everything with butterflies. And I only say this because of the impact it had on him. He had just gotten back from the ocean from scuba diving. He was sitting on the wall, not knowing that I'm being pulled by God. And I just had a long talk with the Supreme Being at the beach. He comes in and he looked white as ghost. And he says to me in so many words, "You know how I don't believe in the supernatural, and I definitely don't believe in God?" "Yeah, yeah." He goes, "You're not going to believe what just happened." I go, "What?" He goes, "That gold necklace you gave me 2 years ago that I've never taken off, it fell off my neck in the ocean, and I was sitting on the wall, and a butterfly came and died next to me." He said, "Listen, I know we're thinking about maybe getting back together, and you know I want to get back together." We were so in love. We were. And he goes, "I have a bad feeling that whatever's following you, it wants you. And that if I get back with you, karma's going to come to get me." I knew right then and there that was the Most High. And he said, "I'll help you do whatever you got to do, but I can't touch this with a 10-foot pole." That's part one of my testimony. Stay tuned for part two. Hope you guys enjoy that.
Wow, I sure did. That's amazing about what he said about the butterfly. Did I hear you right? And he said that the butterfly died?
A butterfly, because you got to remember when we were dating and we were going to, the thing of it is, Mama June, him and I were seeing each other and we were so in love because I met him on a vacation prior to that. But I end up going back home and I supernaturally met my husband that kept bringing up God. My husband always said the Lord used him to push my butt through the window back to him.
Oh,
and then he came to the Lord through me. But the other guy was so devastated that I walked away because the Holy Spirit was calling me then. But we always did butterflies. He bought me the most beautiful butterfly necklace of diamonds.
Right. I had a, I caught on, you know, to that.
Yeah, it died next to him, and the gold necklace fell off. And he didn't know I had just prayed at the ocean, "Get me out of this mess. I will serve you." That's just part one. You will not believe. Maybe next week I'll give you guys part two.
That would be wonderful. And let me tell you, one of these weeks, I would like for you to share about your husband. I would like for you to do just a special 5-minute segment on.
I was going to do that today. You know, I was going to do that instead of tell you what I told you, but I didn't think I could get through it.
All right, Jody. I said your name. Lord, forgive me.
Okay.
Because this is being recorded. But I do want to tell you that all of you guys that are listening, even you that are listening on the internet later, when y'all hear the story of her husband, you're going to be very blessed. It's really a phenomenal good Christian testimony about what God can do through somebody that will surrender. All right, sister. Well, how about this, Miss Jody? How about if I interview you? Would you be open to an interview?
Eventually. Give me another couple weeks or a month. Yes, but thanks for asking.
Yeah. I'd love for you to share that story.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Well, thank you for sharing. What about you guys in Canada? How y'all doing?
We're doing good, thanks. That was a very good testimony from Jody. Hopefully I can be as good. Okay.
All right.
What I want to talk about today is that you don't mix iron and clay. Mama June wrote a letter to the honorable pastors warning them about this very topic. Daniel was interpreting the dream that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed, and it was about the image of a statue. What I'm going to focus on is about the image, particularly what is mentioned in Daniel 2:31. It says, "Thou, O king, sawest and beheld a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible." Daniel 2:32. "This image head was of fine gold, his breasts and iron, and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass." Daniel 2:33. "His legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay." Now I'm going to go to Daniel 2:40. "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these things, shall it break in pieces and bruise." Daniel 2:41. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of the potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay." Daniel 2:42. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Daniel 2:43. "And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of man, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay." Now let's go back to what Mama June wrote in her letter that reads, "This is a Bluetooth number that is a patent number. It is a computer board put into a human. CRISPR technology comes in and makes you a node. The person becomes transhuman. They are now part iron and clay." The Bible just warned us in Daniel not to become a mixture, as we will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. God made man from clay and warns us not to be joined with machine to become transhuman. This is what the COVID vaccine is doing, mixing iron with clay. President Trump was a primary figure because he said he was the father of the V. He will be a dictator of world proportions and will rule the world of his day, just as King Nebuchadnezzar ruled his world as leader of Babylon. As we just heard the song say, "Come, Jesus, come." Amen. Done.
Well, let me tell you something, boy. You just opened up a can of worms right there. Let me tell you. There's a TV show called 100. And it's about these kids, you know, that come down from they've been in space for a while because there was a nuclear thing on the planet. And so they come back down and they're inhabiting the Earth again, you know, after that tragedy and everything. Well, as you go through the seasons, you find out that it's because of AI. AI had taken over the world and blew up all the humans, okay? But the thing about the AI is, whenever they approach the humans and they ask the humans, you know, "You need to join this city of light. And we will make your life so much better if you just swallow this." So they swallow this pill thing. And when they swallow it, they enter into this new realm, this new metaverse. Okay. They enter in there and it's like they're really living. I mean, they're going in this new world and they're all walking around happy, blessed, healed. Everything is provided for them there, yada, yada. Okay. Now the thing is, it takes their soul. Whenever these people insert the seed within by the choice that they did, it corrupts their heart, basically, is what it is, because it takes their soul. They have no more feelings. They have been taken over. And it gives a really good visual of the hive mind. Because, like I told you guys, you know, the Holy Spirit with all of us, the Holy Spirit is our guide. The Holy Spirit, you know, leads us in everything. And each one of us have the Holy Spirit. This is why we don't have to have a cell phone or internet in the future when they, you know, cut us off. Because he is that, you know, he will speak to us and he will say, okay, I want you to go here, go there, do this and do that. And then he'll speak to the next person, because we all have the same Holy Spirit, the same God. Okay. But in this AI world, they do too. They have a new God who is sitting on the throne of their heart. The abomination of desolation. And this thing, this AI talks to every one of them. This is what they mean by unity, is in this way. And they, whenever one of them gets attacked, it's like zombies, man. I mean, they all turn around and they go to help the one. You know, it's a hive mind. It's where they have been taken over. Now, one thing I can say, I mean, compared to that movie and versus, you know, this COV that was inserted, we're not seeing that as of right now, but it's because it's part one. It's the beginning of, you know, what they're going to do with this global ID. And also, I mean, they even told them in this show, they said, either you take this and become a part of this new kingdom of light, or you will be hung on a cross. Can you believe that? They hung all these people, killed them, or either they cut their head off. But the thing is that Trump, on his, you know, the coin, Abraham Accords coin, and then on his other coin, where he is compared with Cyrus, you know, it has it on there that he is the sons of light. Light. That's why when I interviewed that woman and she said that she was a light bearer, I was like, okay, red flag. You know, red flag. Because we know that this new age Jesus talks like that, you know, it's all about the light, which we know God is light and all that kind of stuff, but this is a new age type of light, like the sons of light versus the sons of darkness. And it's all the snake biting the tail, because it's like, you know, the way they're saying the Great Awakening versus the Great Reset. Well, the Great Reset is all the UN, you know, the World Economic Forum and all that. But we know J.D. Vance's attachment to all these people. We know Trump's attachment to all these people. So they're all together, but they're acting like they're the good guys versus the bad guys. So either way, it is that. Thank you for your impartation on that. What about New York here? Are you able to talk this morning, or are you working?
I am working always. I feel like I live here. Good morning, everyone. I forgot it was Wednesday, but I was reading Organic Christianity this morning, and wow, I don't know if anybody got to this part, but this was amazing what you brought out, how Jesus was buried in a garden. John 19:40-41. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Verse 41. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new sepulcher, which is cave, I think, wherein was a man yet not laid. So, and you tied it back to, I looked, it's in Genesis 3:24, how you brought out also the two angels guarded the tomb, and in the garden, the two angels guarded the tree of life. And I just thought that was amazing. I never picked up on that. So that was just like a wow for me. So thank you for, you know, putting that in the book. So the enemy's been trying to discourage me in pressing in, and I'm not giving up. I am a fighter by nature. It's the way God designed me. But the enemy, you know, because of my work and everything, and I'm not complaining at all. I'm just encouraging the bride, as I have before, that the enemy will try to say, you can't do this. You don't have enough time. Look, you know, you're forgetting this. You forget. Like, I almost forgot to do the Monday call, actually. So, you know, I'm getting into the pace of it, but it takes time. And if we stumble, it's okay. Yeah, I'm not giving up. I'm not perfect. I've never had to do this before while working for full time. So I just would like to encourage that if you're getting beat up or if you're really struggling to keep this pace in the Bible college, to keep going, because it's all worth it. It really is just amazing. And the Lord will honor it. The Lord will honor your efforts. So that's just what I wanted to share with the bride again today.
Well, that is so beautiful. Thank you so much for encouraging them to keep pressing on, because y'all are halfway through, and right now it's probably burning pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, sister. All right, let's move on to the next lady in Mississippi. How you doing?
Hey, can you come back to me? I'm on the phone.
Yes, ma'am, I sure can. All right, let's move on to New Jersey. Hello in New Jersey.
Oh, I had my earbuds in. Good morning. You know what?
Good morning.
I have to tell you, my flesh, it's probably the enemy saying, you know what? You don't have time to be on this prayer call this morning. Blah, 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 blah. And then I came on. And I tell you, while listening to the morning, when you were sharing somebody's testimony, right, when they first came to Jesus, what came to my mind was even before I got baptized, I remember, you know, when I was living with my mom, I think she was like away for the weekend, maybe at my aunt's or something. And I watched the movie The Passion. And I was still drinking then. And I was just like, oh, Lord, I'm such a disgrace. And because it wasn't just when he was crucified. It's what he went through before he even got there, what he did for us. And then I was just like, oh, please forgive me. And I remember just sobbing so hard. And looking back, I really believe that was like really the start of me coming to Jesus. Even though I hadn't been baptized yet, I'm not even sure how soon before I was baptized that was when I watched that movie. And what came to my mind was the abortions I had. I was pregnant four times. I had three abortions, one miscarriage. But I was still dancing in shows then, and I was so selfish. That, I mean, each time I got pregnant, whether I was here on the East Coast or on the West Coast, I didn't even think about my baby. I didn't even think
it was all about, this is such an inconvenience. And I just took care of it, meaning I had my abortions. And that really came up to the surface, and I was like, I'm just such a disgrace. Right now I'm trembling. Just when you think, oh gosh, you know, I don't know what else to say, but wow. I don't know what else to say, but thank you. And thank you for all you do. I love you so much. And I'm so grateful for you, and I'm so grateful for your obedience to the Lord. And I'm so grateful for what the Lord is doing in my life. And at times I may not see it, and sometimes I compare my story with other people's story, which I know I can't. Like one of the things, it's like that song, I Surrender All. It's like I'm afraid to sing it because what if the Lord says, like with your story, and I know nobody's story is the same, and what if he says, sell everything and just, I don't know. It scares me. It really scares me. And I've prayed about that. Like, Lord, well, what if I can't do that? And it really scares me. But I want to surrender it all. But it's scary. And I know he's not necessarily going to say to me, you know, what you surrendered everything to and just picked up, you bought, you know, he gave you a house. A year later, he said, sell it, get rid of it, and you're going to go here. And I know, you know, we all have a different calling, so not everybody's is exactly the same. I don't know, maybe mine's just being a local missionary. Maybe mine is to continue painting rocks and just sharing, you know, the last 10 minutes of my fitness classes, you know, Dabby T Keys, to touch the hearts and the minds of people. And I am believing for that, that not just believers will enjoy the hymns, and that's what I want to share too. That one time I was teaching an aqua class, and this woman came up to me after, and this was not too long ago, and this woman had never taken my aqua class before, so I didn't know who she was. And I don't even think she has taken my class since then. Now, I don't know, I'm not familiar with all the hymns, but this one, that after class, she came up to me and she said, I just want to share, you know, for many years I was battling breast cancer. And then when I heard that song, I don't remember exactly, you know, something like that hymn really helped me get through. And she actually started singing it, and she said, trust and obey, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus and to trust and obey. And I just remember crying and thinking, oh my gosh, I didn't even know that hymn. And yet in my heart, I had been praying, you know, Lord, help me trust you. And like the man said to Jesus, you know, in my unbelief, help me have belief, right? Something like that. And then later I was sharing this with a friend of mine, a fellow sister in Christ, and we were just catching up, and She's like, wow. She's like, the Lord sent that lady to you to sing that to you. And I was like, whoa, I never even thought of it like that. Because I'd never seen that lady before. She never took my class before. And I don't think I've seen her since then. I mean, that is the God we serve. I mean, he is just so amazing. But I was like, wow. You know, talk about divine divine appointment. And now, when I hear that hymn, I have a totally different perspective on it. And so I think that's all I have for today.
Well, I want to tell you this. We definitely all have different stories. You know, like I was saying in the beginning, how humbled I am to be reading you guys' story and to be a part of your journey in Bible college, and the courage you women have had, the strength that God has given you to overcome the stuff that you have, you know, is just very humbling to me to be a part of this. I will tell you that my testimony is so fantastical that it pushes people away from me, Miss Deborah. Oh, I said your name. Sorry.
That's okay.
It pushes people away from me because they feel intimidated by it. And that's the one thing I love my testimony, and I'm very grateful for it. But it also comes at a price, because people are very off put by it. They either can't believe that it's all true, or they can't believe that their life is not. Is the way I look at it when they're looking at me like, you know what I mean? Do you hear what I'm saying?
I sure do.
And that's why I thought I would never have a husband either, because I never thought a man would be able to handle me, because I'm so big in the spirit. You know, I'm global minded, yada yada. Amen. But God sent me a very simple man that was, you know, that gets it. That's the first thing I wanted to tell you. The second thing I wanted to tell you is, when I read your life story, you have an amazing story, sister. And I just want to tell you that something you wrote in class the other day about, you was writing about that woman, that incident that happened. And that really, really blessed me, you know, because it's those small things where God uses us. Like you've heard Canada, they've talked about it, going to the grocery store and the, you know, all that. That's how God is, you know. He wants to use us where we're at. And just remember that these fantastical stories that have conquered big mountains, they come at great prices. You know, it means that I've got a lot to answer to God about. Remember what I told you happened in Bible college, and he had done all them miracles, and I refused to give him glory globally on national television. Remember that?
Yeah, because you didn't like your dress.
That dress was ugly. See, he could have killed me over that, but see what I mean about the greatness and the price that comes with it?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't just give up. You know, God didn't do all this greatness and show you all this stuff for you to hide it under a bushel, you see.
Yeah.
A lot of times when you do experience these great big things, you want to run from it because it is the persecution that comes with it is so bad, and you just so much want a normal life. You know, people will never understand, but for some reason, God hasn't called us to be normal, and we have to accept our destiny, you know, like a king, somebody that was born into a kingship, like in, you know, over there in London. And they were born. They have nothing to change about their destiny. It is what it is. And that's the way we are. So wherever our lot in life was, whatever God called us to, that is what he called us to do. So we shouldn't hate it, be mad at it, regret it, even if it's ugly in the past and it was very hurtful and very ugly and very dark. The Lord wants all of that to use it for his glory, not for you to hide it and be ashamed of it. You know, God wants you to come out in the light, bring it to the light and show people, you know, this is where I was. This is how the devil tried to kill me. This is what I actually saw with my eyes. This is what I went through. And now look what the Lord has done. He has brought me out of this. Now I'm bringing other people to him. You see what I mean, sister?
Yes. And that's like me, like with right after I got baptized, you know, just as an example, you know, to share with the bride, because you already read it. Just when I went to a deli counter at the grocery store and I placed my order, I'm waiting for my order. And then it's interesting because I believe when the Holy Spirit, when he wants me to do something, right, I get this kind of little anxious feeling. I don't know how to really describe it and put it into words. It's just this feeling, like this kind of like anxious feeling, but not in a bad way, but it's just like it's a nudge, right?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I've got that when I give people words in tongues, when you give them prophecies and stuff. Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Okay, yes, it's hard to put into words, right? So like that feeling.
It is.
And
yeah,
and then when the guy, when he, I just said to him, I said, you know, it's been placed on my heart to just tell you that Jesus loves you. And he got teary-eyed. He was, like, so grateful. Like, I don't know what was going on in his life, but God does.
Right.
You know, yeah. God knew exactly what he was going through at that time. And then I just remember just keeping it that simple. And then when I walked away, I just started bawling. And I think I had sunglasses on, thank goodness, because I walked away and I would just cry. Like, I don't understand. Maybe it was just a release because I needed to say that to him. I don't know what, you know. But, wow.
Yeah.
It's something so simple like that, but yet it was so powerful, you know, as only the Lord can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, wow. Amen. Well, I just want to thank you for being real with us this morning and sharing, sister. It's really beautiful. Thank you so much. Okay, let's move on then to this sister in Indiana. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor Jim. Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me?
Good morning. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I just want to start off by saying that I was feeling really discouraged yesterday during the evening, or I don't know, in the afternoon. Anyhow, I don't know why, where that came from, but anyhow, I'm so glad I called in. And I just want to share I appreciate everybody sharing, you know, Jody sharing, and then this lady, you know, the sister just now. And they both mentioned, you know, Jesus loves them, or Jesus loves me. You know, that the young lady that ran to Jody and handed her that track, the gospel.
Yes, yes.
And yeah, and how that said, Jesus loves me. And then Deborah mentioned it again. So that really stuck out to me because when I was younger, there was this lady, you know, back then, you know, in Chicago or the outskirts of Chicago, the bus used to be called the RTA. So anyhow, I would take that to the mall, you know, every now and then I would take it to the mall. You know, when I was younger, I was still in my teens. I didn't have a car. So anyhow, there was this lady that would always, I mean, I would run into her a lot of times in on the bus, you know, or at the grocery store or something like that, you know. And that was back in the 70s, late 70s, 80s maybe, you know, early 80s. And she would always say, Jesus loves you. You know, when she got on the bus, she told that, she said that to the bus driver, and then to everyone that was sitting in the bus, you know, she'll look right at them and say, Jesus loves you. And so anyhow, it's just funny how the Lord led me. I'm going to say long story real short. But later on in my life, I think this was back right before the Jewel closed, the grocery store, I've been thinking about her, and God brought her, and this was like, I don't know, this was in the early 2000s, and she was still surviving, and I seen her. God let me see her, and I didn't have the courage to go up to her and say, thank you so much. You know, I remember you when I was a teenager. So anyhow, I say that because before I left, you know, the nursing home, the last nursing home just now, that I was working in this past year, I was there for 6 months. But anyhow, I put in my resignation, you know, on the 19th of December, and I had already knew I was leaving. You know, but I didn't know that they let everybody else know. I was hoping they wouldn't, but I think they did. So anyhow, I wanted to give, you know, God moved in my heart to give them, you know, a little treat. And I knew I wanted to give them because it was Christmas. And, you know, if anybody has to shine the light, you know, we believers in Christ do. So I was really motivated to really give them a small gift and a card. And outside the card, you know, to each one I wrote, Jesus loves you. You know, and then a box of chocolates. So anyhow, so I'm just thankful that she mentioned that, you know, especially after I was being discouraged, feeling discouraged yesterday. But I just wanted to read from Psalm 139. And in verse 23, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. So I'm just looking through, you know, what scripture, because I really wasn't ready either. And, you know, what scripture am I going to read? You know, so it's pretty long, but Psalm 139, verse 23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. So I'm glad I was able to share that. I'm thankful that I, you know, I got on the call because I wasn't going to say anything at first, but I thought, okay, I'll share that little piece. So anyhow,
well,
just,
let me tell you, I think it's really cool the way that, now if I understood you right, is that when you quit your job, it was around Christmas time, so you still went and gave them gifts before you left. Did I hear that right?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I put in my resignation on the 19th. You know, I decided, yeah. Well, you know what, it's 2 weeks for the end of the year because I'm thinking, am I going to do this or not? Am I going to do this or not? Because every day it was something.
Right.
You know, it was right. Clear that, you know, I was really not. And working hard, you know, I mean, it's just, I wasn't the best, don't get me wrong. But I tried my best, you know, and, yeah. But it was always something. So I didn't fit in, I didn't fit in, I didn't fit in. And, you know, these, you know, it was obvious. You know, because they would, you know, just in their cracking their jokes and in their humor, you know, everything pointed to the fact. I mean, even though they said they were Christian, I, you know, and I was there once, so I'm not mocking anybody or judging anybody. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I wasn't blatant to tell jokes about it, about Christ or anything like that or you yeah. know. And it was obvious when they celebrated in October, Spirit Week. And you could wear whatever, and you know, they dressed up as the Grinch, you know.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and they would always, you know, throw in your face, you know. I mean, we're feeding people in the dining room, you know, in the small dining room, you know, the assistant,
yeah.
And they're cracking jokes about. I mean, they're going on and on about the Harry Potter thing, and then one nurse, and she laughed about it. She goes, well. You got to watch it when you're putting a spell on somebody because, you know, that could jump, you know, it could turn around and get you kind of thing. And she kind of laughed about it. And
what the world, man.
Yeah, so they were pretty blatant about it, you know, the Harry Potter and then that other one, Lord of the Rings. And then I mentioned, you know, and I try to, you know, come in, you know, well, hey, you know, did you know that, you know, it's been said that the man that authored, you know, J.R.R. Tolkien, you know, he was said to be good friends with C.S. Lewis, you know, who made, you know, he wrote the books of the Chronicles of Narnia, and they're both Christian. You know, have you heard of the Inklings? And, you know, I try to, you know, come in or interject, you know, with my, you know, because they're obviously having a conversation there. And I'm thinking, well, these people probably think I don't know anything. You know what I'm saying? I know a little bit, you know, and
yeah.
Oh, they'll crack a joke about something else, and they'll say it in my face, you know, they'll sing this little happy, you know, the Looney Tunes song, you know, and that was from the Clockwork Orange, and, you know, which was, I seen that back in 86, 87, somewhere around there, because a friend of mine, you know, the lady that I was dating back then, she was into all that. And, I mean, just reading books and, you know, anyhow. Yeah. And then she was being pulled to be a Christian because her father, who went to jail or prison, whatever, he came out of there being a Christian. So he's trying to teach her. But by that time, she was already, you know, she was taking care of herself and taking care of her little brothers, you know. She was a young girl. So, I mean, just very advanced in intelligence and at a young age. She, you know, so she taught me a lot. You know, she was emancipated, or she emancipated herself and at 15 or something.
All right, Monica, I'm going to have to stop you here, Sonny. I mean, honey.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm just babbling now. I'm thankful. Sorry about
well,
that.
Well, that's all right. We've been friends long enough, so, I know how you are. But it's
I
okay, sis. Thank
I
you.
I appreciate Jody. Yeah, go ahead. Jody. Testimony, that's all. She it just brought back a lot of memories. Okay, thank you for
yes, Ms. Jody.
Testimony.
You're welcome. So Jody, I don't know if you caught on to this, but she was saying that she had a rough night last night. She called in, she wasn't going to participate, was not going to say anything, and then Jody. And here's Jody on there. Well, I wasn't going to say anything, but I'm just going to tell you all this. See how it is. See how Wednesdays are so important, because you don't know who is on this call or who will be listening to this later, that your little story of painting rocks and doing this and, you know, is going to bless somebody else. That is what Giving Wednesdays are. You know, this is your time to pour in your thoughts and what God is showing you or whatever. You know, it's Give Back Wednesdays. So thank you. Jody, you got the ball rolling. All right, so now let's move on to Jess. Oh, I can't say your name. Good morning, sir, from Colorado. Are you in Colorado?
Yes.
Okay, good morning. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling a lot better than yesterday.
Oh, praise God. Praise God.
Yesterday was really dark.
Wow.
But Pastor Jody, Jody and Pastor Cherry prayed for me, and man, the prayer that they prayed, and it felt like a semi hit the gates of hell, and then it had a thundering sound so loud, and I seen the gates. And I could see the shadows running as this, whatever hit them, they were running. And there was a fire that was coming behind them, a Holy Ghost fire.
Yeah.
And it was just mowing everything down. And it was, as it was doing that, I felt it from the top of my head going down my face and down my chest and all the way down my feet. And boy, ever since then, I feel a lot better. I went to the doctor, got done with my appointment, came home and had some broth. And next thing you know, I fell asleep and didn't wake up till about 3:30 this morning, and stayed up a little bit and then went back to sleep. So just a little bit ago.
Yeah.
but I feel a lot better. Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. Now, listen, Jesse. I know you got them rivers of living water on the inside of you. Give us 5 minutes and encourage us this morning. You can do it.
Yes. Oh, well, all I can say is that even though I felt like I was dying, literally. I mean, I even asked the Father, I said, Papa, what's going on? I said, let me know something. What's really going on? I said, because I feel my days are upside down. I said, I wake up in the morning and it's already night, and I wake up at night and it's already morning. And I said, so what's going on?
Oh, man. Yeah.
And so I said, let me know what's going on, Papa. What do you want me to do? He said, go deeper. So I started praying in the Spirit. So every time that I would open my eyes, I would pray in the Spirit, no matter what time it was. I didn't know what time it was or whatever. I would just pray in the Spirit.
Yeah.
So I just kept praying in the Spirit. And I just kept going on, and I was just listening to the Word. But one thing is, don't ever give up. No matter what it is, don't give up. Don't ever give up. Because He's always there with you. He's right beside you. And you know what? You know that He is, because the devil will come and tell you that He's not. Every time that the devil comes and tells you this and reminds you of the past and all this other stuff, you know that it's him that's attacking you, because you have shamed him and he hates that. He hates that he's a loser and reminded of it.
Now, Jesse, are you telling people that if the devil's telling them that God has left them, or that they are having a hard time praying and feel like nothing's there, what was your answer to that?
If you're putting a punch into darkness, and he wants to stop you because he knows that you're doing damage to his kingdom, and he don't want that. So he comes and starts telling you lies, stuff, in order to stop you. And he'll do everything that you feel that like you're in quicksand, but you're not.
Thank you. I really needed that this morning. You wasn't on the call the other day when I was telling the bride, I was like, man, I feel like it's like he's just not there. It's like I'm praying to a block wall, you know? And then I had somebody wrote me that night and said, I've been going through the same thing. So I kind of got broke of it, you know, after that. I realized, this is an attack.
Yeah, I told Jody yesterday, I said, I feel so drained. But when they prayed for me, and man, that bang sounded like something huge, like was breaking down a big old wall. And I saw in the Spirit the gates of hell breaking down, and you could see those spirits just running. See, we can't give up. When somebody's hurting, and we have our family, don't be afraid to pray for the family. That's why a lot of churches a lot earlier, like 30 years ago, I would see the people would get all happy because they were asking them to go pray. And a lot of them will come and pray. They would start all strong and everything, but the enemy would hit them. And then they would quit. They would quit because they said that they were going through this or that and everything, but it's just the enemy just trying to stop you.
Right, I see. I appreciate you encouraging us in that today, yes.
But you'd be amazed. You'd be amazed when you go through it. Because when it's over, you feel like Sansa.
Yeah.
So don't give up. No matter what. Because he's right there with you.
Yeah. Thank you. Let me pray for you real quick, Jesse. I know this is not supposed to be happening, but I just want to because of what you said. Everybody, just stretch your hands towards Jesse. Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord, for Jesse and what he is to the church, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done in his life. And Lord, we just pray, and the same for Rosemary. I see she's on the line this morning. Yes. We pray the same for her, for both of you guys, for healing. We plead the blood of Jesus over you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. We pray, God, that you push back any demonic forces that would be trying to harass them or bother them or torture them in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for angels being encamped about them, Lord, and healing them, Lord, that your blood is healing them. And we thank you and give you praise, Lord, because you are the one that we put our hope and trust in, just like we learned yesterday in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You are our defense. You are our guard. You are the one that carries our battles and fights for us. And we thank you and give you praise, Lord, that you are God alone in both of their lives. And we thank you that they're both victorious overcomers. They're the head and not the tail, and above and not beneath. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, Jesse, thank you for your encouraging word. What about you, ma'am, from Massachusetts? And then, Rosemary, I'll do you next. How are you doing from Massachusetts?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, June. How are you? You've been sick, so I'm more concerned about you.
Well, I'm feeling much better, thank you. I really am.
Praise God. Praise God. He's so good, isn't he? He is wonderful.
Yes,
well,
he is.
I'm going to give a little of my testimony. I was one of eight children, the second and the oldest, of an alcoholic family. Both parents were alcoholics.
All right, let me pause you real quick. Donna, I have to run to the mailbox, so don't ask me, are you here? I'm putting you on hold, and you just talk, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right,
so
go ahead.
I was the second oldest of eight children, and both of my parents were alcoholics. My father was a full-fledged alcoholic. My mother was a sneaky alcoholic. But they were both alcoholics, and they both died young. My father died when he was 45 years old. My mother died at 55. And I had a child at 16 with Lou Fondanova. I ended up marrying him when I was 18 because my parents didn't believe in getting married just because I had a child. His mother wanted me to get married because I had a child. And I'm like, this is so crazy. Well, anyway, to get to the heart of stuff, then he was abusive. He was full-blown paranoid schizophrenic. I didn't have any idea. So I went through ups and downs constantly. My son went, we moved all the time. He was in the military at first. Then he got thrown out for drugs. That wasn't even his. It was the person who used to live there, and it was a plant, and he watered it, and it came to life. So anyway, they arrest him because he threw it out the window as the cops were there. So then they arrested me. I just had a newborn baby. But thank God one of his Marine buddies was at my house. He took the kids to the commanding officer, and I cried all night. I didn't sleep. One of the officers wanted to give up his pay to let me out, and they said, no, she will leave. And I won't leave. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a drug addict. So anyway, make that shot. He put us through ins and outs. I was liked by everybody that I met. I was a very personal person. I took care of you if you needed help. So then we moved back to Massachusetts. We moved every 3 years. That's how sad it was. That should have been the first clue, but I didn't realize. And then he started hallucinating, seeing a kite was the enemy, and he was beating up a kite one day. I mean, my mother went, he's nuts. But I stayed with him. I tried to make the marriage work. Finally, I had enough. I just had to divorce him. But I love my children. I have 5 children with him. I lost a child with him. I had an ectopic pregnancy. That was a tough road. But God stayed with me all through it. When my first daughter was like maybe 1, and I used to work days, he worked nights. And my friend Sue Hamilton, who I love dearly, she had 2 boys a block away from me. My son and her son went to kindergarten together. Well, she found out that I didn't have Thanksgiving dinner. So she told the church, and they were giving out Thanksgiving baskets. So they brought one to my house. And I said to my husband, I have to go to church to thank them. This isn't right. And we have to acknowledge that we got to. Will you be back in about an hour? I don't know. I'll be back when she comes back. She came at 6 to get me because church started at 7. She was ahead of coffee making. I didn't know we had to be an hour early, so I was there. Went to service. It was the born-again part of Catholic Church. And then it lasted a little longer than the hour. And then she was a cleanup. So she was driving me home. And it was beautiful out. It was, I had accepted Jesus, and I was like, I just feel like I'm in heaven. And the sun wasn't shining, but the moon started shining. My street was completely dark. She drove me up, and I walked up to the porch. I went to go in, and he locked the door. God said, sit on the chair and just wait. Don't go near the door. So I just praised Jesus, and it started snowing, and I'm like, this is so pretty. Thank you, Lord. You created the snow for me to be healed. And then he sneakily unlocked the door, and God said, I could hear it. And God said, don't go in. Don't go in. So I said, okay, I'll just praise you, Jesus. I praise him for another 25 minutes freezing out, but I wasn't cold. I didn't have a coat on. That was how crazy I was. Then I went in about an hour later. I went upstairs. He was asleep. I went to bed, and I hopped in bed just like nothing ever happened. He didn't remember a thing. And it was crazy. He would make me go to a party and say, you have to drink or I'm going to leave with another woman. So I'd nurse that one drink. I wasn't an alcoholic. I would drink occasionally, but I didn't care. So he turned around, and we ended up getting divorced. I was a Christian, but I was living a life of sin because I didn't agree with a lot of the... I didn't know a lot of the Bible because you were just told what they read to you, you know? And then... turned around, he was really hallucinating really bad, and he decided years later, I had the 5 kids, and he decided he wanted to go to church. A Christian church had just opened in our neighborhood. So me and my friend Mal, who went to school together since second grade, we hopped on the train to the church. Well, not the train. It was only like a block from her, so she could walk. But I met these wonderful pastors, and I used to sneakily buy food for the young pastor and their family and put it in her car. But they said to me, I don't care if you're the only person here. God told me to prepare a message and preach it. It doesn't matter. How many people are here? Well, that church ended up growing pretty good. But before, it was all like me and Mal and our kids. But we both had 5 kids, so it was pretty big. And then the church ended up moving from building to building. And I was a backslidden Christian after my divorce. And I moved to Florida. I was sleeping around. And I was drinking sometimes with some people, but I would never drink and drive. But I did have sex out of the marriage a lot. And I was divorced. I figured I could. But I didn't realize God doesn't tolerate that till I met June. I am so thankful for June's encouragement. I don't sleep around now. I just pray Jesus does the right thing until I'm married again. That's it. I shut the gates. And I just love the Lord so much. And June, you encouraged me so much. And then I died in Florida. I had a car accident. I hydroplaned across US 1, which isn't a highway, but it's a state road. And I hit a car head on. I hit an SUV, rolled my car over. And it threw me out. Well, the state trooper on the scene, Officer Parker, took the information from the girl I had hit, and he turned around, and she was fine, and he let her go. And then he came down to me, and I was outside of the car. He said, just like, look, he goes, how are you feeling? I said, am I dead or alive? Then the helicopter landed to take me to the trauma hospital. And they put me on the gurney, and I died in his arms. He said, clearly, you died in my arms. And because I talked to him after. And I turned around. They put his tracheotomy in me. They mid-flighted me to a hospital. There was one a block away, but that wasn't the trauma hospital. So they brought me to West Palm Beach to a trauma hospital. And I was instantly in a coma, level 2. Level 1 is death and no return. The oxygen kept me alive. That's the only thing that kept me alive. Well, the officer was like in shock because he knew, and he left a note at the hospital for my children to call him. So I'm in the hospital. They did major surgeries. They found that I tore both carotid arteries, which is medically a full decapitation. All my blood had pulled up inside me in my belly. So when they cut me from the breastbone all the way to the pelvic bone, I gushed out blood. They took a foot and a half of my intestines out. I broke almost all my ribs, dislocated almost all my spine, broke my ankle. They had to screw it back on. They turned around and told my children I would never wake up out of the coma. I was nearly dead, and I was going to be dead. And they're going to shut that life support off because I was a waste of it. So my daughter kept praying and had everybody praying for me. And she would be in the room with me and sing Christian songs. And they turned around, and almost 3 months later, I woke up. Surprise, surprise, surprise. The doctor said I would never do that. I did it. And I woke up and I was like, I knew everybody. My brother was asking me questions. I answered them. The doctor stayed in our room till my brother was finished. And he canceled all his appointments. He said, this is too amazing. I have to stay with this patient. So my brother asked, you're one of 5 children. I went, No, I only could shake my head because I had a drink. No, you're the second oldest, yes. You have four brothers, no. I knew every answer that my brother asked me. He was like, this is amazing. She remembers. We thought she'd be brain dead, totally. And they turned on when I finally got off the breathing tube and came back. I woke up. I could start eating, and I could only have liquid diets. That's all I could have. So then I got some nourishment, and I was fine. It was like the doctors were amazed that I was walking and talking, and I was in a wheelchair, but when I first woke up, he had to put me in the wheelchair, tie me in because I'd fall out. I had three stroke claws in my coma. My daughter was
only
visible.
All right, Ms. Donna, I'm going to have to stop you here. Now, the thing about Donna's testimony is her testimony was featured on CBN, wasn't it, Donna?
Yep, 700 COVID. It's not supposed to be active. It's still active. The lanes call it fake.
Where she had that accident, it almost killed her. And then, now I'm very excited about it, you sharing this morning. But I do have to move on, sister. I love you. Let's move on up here to Miss Rosemary. Hello, sis. Good morning.
Good morning. God bless you.
God bless you too.
Thank you for praying for me. And Donna, that was a beautiful testimony, sister. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you, Jesse. I heard yours too. God bless you, everybody. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for praying for me. I've had trouble breathing. I'm going to the lung specialist today. And when I saw them 6 months ago, they said I was completely fine, which sounds great. But the truth is I am having great difficulty breathing and talking. And I was trapped in a burning car 10 years ago until my eyelashes and seatbelt burned off of me. And Progressive Auto Insurance said I was the worst car accident in United States history for 25 years. No one had ever survived a burning vehicle that had melted. I was in the car until it started melting. And my seatbelt and everything was burned up. But Jesus saved me. So I figure God gave me 10 beautiful years to wake up and tell my testimony. And I'm just excited, you know. I'm really excited that I didn't sound like this 10 years ago. At least you gave me 10 years.
Yeah.
And I don't have a lot to say except for I love you and thank you for your patience and kindness with me. Because it's been a difficult journey, and sometimes I've been very frustrated and not kind. And I'm sorry to everyone I ever wasn't kind to. I'm very frustrated sometimes, but God will work that out in my heart. Every day I pray, create in me a clean heart, oh God. So thank you, everyone, for your help. It's been a really exciting journey. I would like to get my story in print because sometimes it gets lost in translation and changed. Very well-meaning, wonderful people. I was talking to Jody about that yesterday. Doug Hamp, Pastor Doug Hamp, a marvelous scholar of the Word. He had a panel on last week, and they were talking about what I said. And they were, you know, it just got changed a little bit, like kindergarten in the telephone game. But it's okay. Most important is that God's name is El Elyon, one of them. And imposters will come, and we'll spot them because we know our Father's name, and we know our Father's address. And cowards don't go to heaven, so as much as I did not want to stand up and tell my story, I did point at Elon and warn the world. And I did that for my father at risk of making a fool out of myself. You know, thousands of people mocked me and don't believe me. That's okay. I'm telling the truth because God asked me to warn people, and I did. And so God will do with that.
Well,
what
I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you. Your testimony is so sobering. I mean, it really wakes you up to reality. And, you know, I've been exposing President Trump ever since I left him, you know. And, but I still had this kind of love still in there. It's terrible to even admit this, but it's true. Because of all that I did with him and for him across the country and all the years. And I know you know what I'm talking about, Rosemary.
Yeah.
There is still that one little thing because of what you did with them and your relationship you had with them. But when I heard you talk about who Elon really is, it woke me up to, I'm dealing with evil here. All of that stuff I had about the love I had, that all went out the window after I had interviewed you, because you made us realize that, you know, this is an unholy entity that we're dealing with here. And
yes.
They're not playing. But now,
yes.
Do you know that ever since me and your interview, how much has happened since then? Oh, my God.
No, I kind of bury my head in the sand and just ask God to cover me because it's raining. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. I do. I cover my eyes and try to look away. You know, yesterday I was telling Jody, there are three types of people right now in the presence of Elon. The thing is that either you run, because you know you are in the presence of pure evil. Either you run,
yeah,
or you stand and you're amazed and you just are under his spell. He's been like that since he was little. You are under a spell. Or you spiritually fight because you recognize it. So you fight, you worship him, or you run away. And those are the people that have stayed with him. Because you can't be in Elon's presence without knowing there's something definitely huge.
Well, I was going to say, it's that way with Trump as well. Do you know that when he walks in a room, he sucks the life out of the room? He's that powerful. His presence is like, so, I mean, I see why people bow to him. It's something about it. So them two together, I can't imagine how their presence is together.
Yes, they probably, you know, the Ark of the Covenant, and you know when you jumpstart a battery, you got the positive and the negative, and you arc it, right? You know what I'm talking about? Well, you know, the Ark of the Covenant, it's got an arc too, right? There's a spiritual, powerful thing going on with the presence of God. Well, when they're together, you know, I was telling somebody, I didn't grow up watching sci-fi movies. Life was bad enough. I didn't want to see it on the TV. And now I'm watching some of those movies like Stargate. I watched it last year.
Yeah.
It's a dark black replica. It's an unholy replica of the Holy of Holies. It's got a black throne with black angels, dark wings over the ark. You know, it's an Ark of the Covenant, but it's black. It's like a demonic one. Well, those two together seem like the two witnesses for the devil, don't they? You know, the devil's always got an imposter. You know, an imposter always shows up before the real deal. I notice imposter and a cry, you know, imposter Christ, imposter false prophet. But boy, when those two are together, they just create sparks, right, in the room. I hear you.
Yeah.
And I'm not even in the room. Thank you for your time. I don't want to take too much time. You know, would y'all just give me a little prayer before I go? Because the pulmonary guy says he doesn't see anything wrong and all that. And I don't want anything to be wrong, but I just want him to see what's happening. Some days I cannot breathe at all. I was in Alaska. I thought I was going to die, and I thought, I'm done, and that's okay. But, you know, I just don't like this fear of when you're suffocating.
Now, Rosemary, let me ask you something. Let me ask you. Are you in a city? Are you near 5G?
I'm in the country. I am the last town before the wilderness. So I was fine until they... Okay, look, the fires, you know there's fires, right?
Yeah.
Well, I've been living everywhere I go, they burn down the house. There are caravans of direct energy weapons drive through. I've got videos of them. And...
And so maybe LA's on the news right now, but trust me, it's going on all over the place. And so I've lived where I am right now at the edge of the wilderness in Oregon for 10 years. But the year that I opened my mouth, 5G started. There's 139,000 acres in a horseshoe 3 miles from my house all summer, every summer. So I'm living in smoke and evacuation. And I get in a tent and I go out in the woods. And sometimes the government closes all the camping so you can't camp and you can't stay in your car because they'll get you and think you're a homeless person and roust you up. So I get in my tent, and you know what I do? I find out where the fire camp people are, all the firefighters. They got 1,000 of them, and I go stay with them.
Yeah.
I just go mix in. I put my tent in there. Nobody know. I take showers with, you know, and when they're all gone at the fire, I just go in. And I, because I don't know what to do. I was praying, Lord, you know, when I got evacuated and I only had $40, and I was praying, and so I figured I'd use that for gas. And I said, Lord, where do I go? What do I do? And he put it on my heart to go to the fairgrounds. They were housing horses in the evacuation. And I thought, I'll just go bed down with the horses. Nobody will know, you know, all the horse people, they're kind of dirty.
That's,
you know,
a
they
great
got
idea.
Praise the Lord. So that's what I did. And then, so, but then when I got to the fairground, I heard they were taking animals. It was a FEMA camp. And and then my heart was fear. And I could see. And so I camped with the animals. And I woke up in the morning and I could see the big building they were sending everybody into for the snacks and the food. Do you know, I knew every single child in that building. And I lived an hour away. I knew every single child in the building. And in the morning, I was fretting. Oh, God, save the children. Are they going to vax them? Are they going to, what are they going to do to them, God? You know, they're passing out masks.
Yeah, yeah.
At the breakfast counter. And I was all, oh, I wish I had Bibles, Jesus. And then God showed me, you have given every one of those children a Bible. And I laughed in my heart. I went, oh, yeah, I know them. And they all go to my Bible club. And people send me, you know, nice, like $20 Bibles, you know, a case of them, $200. People send me beautiful Bibles for the children. And I realized I'd already prayed, and they all knew the gospel. And so then I took my tent outside, right? I was camping. And when I went inside to get some granola bars and water and ask if they had a shower, they didn't, you know, but they said, oh, you can't camp out there. And I just smiled and waved and went back out to my tent. And then everybody saw that I was camping out there. And then everybody inside the FEMA shelter came outside with me and camped on the lawn. And so, the Feast of Tabernacles.
What did they require in there? What did they require? Did they require the V?
Listen, this is what I will tell you that. It was a setup. It was a, you know, when you chase horses in a canyon and you box them in?
Yeah.
You know, when you... That's what they were doing. Get you down here, this one. 2 weeks, the skies were raining ashes. Okay, so you're sweaty and you're hot. It's holding in the heat. There's ashes. An hour away from the fires, there's ashes falling on your sweaty body, and the sky was all brown, and no showers. No showers.
Oh.
No showers. Really? Because the carnies, you know, carnies, like I go work at the fair when I have no money in the summertime. I travel with the carnies and just take them Bibles and stuff because I'm a missionary like that. I'm not scared. And you know, I thought they could give the dirty crackhead carnies showers, but they can't give people in the FEMA camp showers, right? Because at the fairground, there's always trailers with showers. They have trailers with showers. They didn't let nobody take a shower for 2 weeks. And then they said, if you want to go over to the college, which has razor wire, barbed wire around it, and a gate they can lock, they said, but if everybody wants to go over to the college, they were given vaxes. And they were telling you it was required, so if they could trick you into that vax, they were. Because they're telling people it was required. Even though you could run away and say no, but they were telling them. So some people are simple-minded and weak, and they don't know their God. The Bible says in the last days, but the people that know their God will do great exploits in Daniel. So they were telling people, you know, now they're hungry and they're tired and they've been sleeping in these... in this place, and they told them, but if you want to come over here, you can have a shower. And then when they got over there, they said, oh, but you need to get a vax. So they were holding out. Isn't that horrible?
Horrible.
I was so scared. I went to the ocean. I just camped, you know, in the dirt. I just went to the ocean, yeah. And I thought, Lord, you're going to take care of me. You're going to take care of me. And I have already given every one of those children a Bible, Father God. I've already done my job before they got that far.
Yes, I got it.
Right?
You.
God is so good. Yep. So that's what they do to us every year. There's 139,000 acres on fire 3 miles from my house, and it's a miracle it don't touch me, but the smoke is getting to me.
Yes, I bet.
And I'm excited to give my life for Christ, but I think God's letting my voice go dim now, and I'm not singing, which was always my gift. But I love God so much.
Rosemary, I'd like to offer you something. Why don't you come down here and stay with us until that passes?
Well, thank you. You know what? I will work on that this summer.
It.
I know, sister, and you're in Tennessee, right?
Yeah, I'm in that, right outside of Nashville.
You know, I got a daughter runaway. She's over there right now. Her name is Sierra Faith. She's an abusive man. It sounded like that last lady's husband. Sounds just like him. Yeah, I'd love to come see you, June. Thank you for that. June, thank you for that invitation. It really blesses God's heart when we take people in, you know, that are.
I mean,
thank you.
We have a room here that we call the Prophet's Quarters, and we have people come here. That will stay a week or two or three. You know, we had this woman come one time, and she was like you. She was a missionary, but she was a missionary for 40 years. And she was 80-something years old. And she told the Lord, she said, Lord, I do not want to die sitting. I want to die on the field. And God sent her back out. He sent her back out, and she's still out in the field, but she wants to die there. But the point is that she came here to get kind of recalibrated, you know, to get her mission.
Yes, like a reset for God.
Yeah, the door is open if you want to come here.
This is like the true great reset, right?
Yeah.
I would really love that. I would really love that.
Yeah.
Today is Bible Club, you know, the Extra Good News After School Bible Club. And I think it's one of the last. Oh, and, you know, they're not a church. They just minister to children, and we use the church building. But God is so good. God is so good. So that's my ministry. I'm invisible. I'm the snack lady, and I put Bibles in the gift bag. And in the.
That's
you know
awesome.
What? It's so cute because it's just like a game show for Jesus. They come, they play in the gym, you know, ride scooters around for a little while, basketball. And then they come in, they listen to the Bible story, and it's like a game show. They pick, they have teams, and they have to answer the questions. And only one team gets the prize box, but everybody does get a treat bag. And so, you know, I try to make it,
cool.
I try to, oh, I bribe them. I give them chocolate and goodies. And, you know, slinkies, and you know, those sticky hands. They love those slime hands and stuff. But just to remind them once a week, Jesus loves them. And you know, because we're not a church. They got to go out and grow up and find their own church. We're just an after-school Bible club.
Yeah.
And God is so good. I'm so honored because I am the biggest sinner I ever knew, June. I am. I'm the hooker's daughter, June. and I am the biggest sinner. And God has been so good. So good. You know, I have a beautiful picture out of an old Bible, and it's Rahab on the roof hiding the spies in the flax. And her breasts are hanging. It's like, if you look at that real close, her breasts are hanging. Like, she's a whore. But God saved her and put her right in the line of Christ. And she's helping others out of there, too.
Arch.
I love it. Anyway, that's all I got to say, sister, okay? I love you.
All right, sister. Well, thank you. I love you, too. And I do want you to know we're opening up that identity class at the Bible College. Starts February, the beginning of February. Registration's going on now. You can go to the website at goem.us. Okay, now let's move on then to Texas. I think she's able to talk now. Hello, sister.
Hello, hello. God bless you all.
You too.
Okay, I'm not going to be long. I was just listening to everyone and kind of connecting. Rosemary was just mentioning this morning that a song came to my mind when I was reading the word, and it's one of my favorite psalms. It's in Psalm 51. And when she mentioned creating me a clean heart, that song came to mind, and so I would like to say that part of the psalm and just sing a little piece of the song. And it's in Psalm 51. It says on verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. And the song goes like this, and if y'all know it, please sing it with me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a bright spirit within me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so when we, you know, I wanted to share them. And also wanted to say that when she mentioned about the FEMA line, I remembered a dream that was shared to me from my daughter, and when she said that there was a, she had a dream that there was a tsunami and they didn't have nowhere to run, and that they were displaced from their home, and and she said that her husband was with the child, their child in his arms, and he was going to the line. There was a big line when Sister Rosemary mentioned that line. It was a FEMA line, and it was for water, food, and just help, the necessities that they needed. And I remember telling her back then, that remember that when these things come to happen, don't go to the line, I told her, because you're going to be compromised, and you won't be able to get out. You have to go to the unknown. You have to, the unknown meaning that you have to trust in the Lord. You have to turn to Him. It's like He will bring water from the desert. He will make water appear for you because He is the water from the rock. He is the bread of heaven. He will provide for us. We have to just believe. He is our great physician too. We're living in the days when we can't trust these systems anymore. The educational system, the health system, the government, the religious system, everything has turned towards the coming of the Antichrist. And everything will be evil and will not be for us, especially the bride. So all I can do is encourage my brothers and sisters that when these times come, and they're coming, they're here and they're coming worse, remember that He is our great physician. He is the shade, our shade and our fire by night, our shade by day, our water from the rock, and the bread, our bread from heaven. So walk into the unknown and believe that He will provide, knowing and believing that He is with us wherever we go. and he will provide for our every need, and he will heal us and deliver us. God bless you all. I love you all with all my heart.
Very good, sister. Thank you so much. That was very encouraging. All right, what about you? What about you? Let's see who I got here. What about you, Miss Florida? How you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah. I got a few scripts I want to read about praise and worship.
And all right, Psalm, go ahead.
Psalm 148:13. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and the heaven. And Psalm 149:6, let the high praise of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. That's what it says, let the high praise go to God. Because sometimes we in situations, we can praise our way out. Because if you got your spirit down, sometimes you start praising God and he lifts it up. Because he loved praise and worship. And Psalm 150 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Because he's worthy to be praised. He loved praise. God loves our praise away. When we do praise and worship, God loves that. When you start praising God, like sometimes things change in your life. If your life may not be going right, but praise and worship in God will change that way. In other words, God will change the situation. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the praise and the harp. Praise him with the cymbal and dance. Praise him with strain, instrument, and organ. He does praise. He does the organ, the trumpet, the trumpet, all that praise and worship. Because God loves praise. He loves the praise and worship. When we go to church, because I'm a church, they got a drum and organ in our church, and my pastor's son, he plays the organ. So he God loves praise and worship. Like when you praise and worship him, that's what he loves. And praise him upon the lyre, cymbal, praise him upon the harp, swine, cymbal. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Along, they said, let everything have breath praise the Lord. They said, let the trees clap their hands and praise it to God. Because everything have breath that praise God. Other trees ain't got breath, but I'm just saying. Everything that praise God, God, Lord, he worthy to be praised. He worthy all our praise, all the glory and all the praises go to God. Not us, go for God to get the glory and give him all the glory and all the praises. Because you lift up yourself, that means that you ain't serving God. All the praise and glory go to God. And I got one more scripture in Second Chronicles 20:20 And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that shall praise the beauty of his holiness. As they went out before the army and say, praise the Lord for his mercy and do it forever. That's what he said. If you praise God, God got mercy for you. His mercy and do it forever. As long as you praise and worship him, you have mercy on you. Because if you have mercy on you, you have mercy on. If he have mercy on you, if he want to, you don't have to. But his mercy and do it forever. Through praise and worship, God give us mercy for that. For praising him and worshiping him, giving him the glory to go to him. So that maybe we praise and worship God. That's all he deserves our praise. Because he deserves all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Go to God. So that's all I have for today.
Well, I'll tell you what, sis, I love it every time you read the Bible. Thank you so much for encouraging us this morning. What about you, sister? How you doing?
Okay. Let me get you up there. I can hear you. You can hear me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay, I'm just going to read this.
Isaiah 11 about the Davidic kingdom. And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove the with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The lion also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of knowledge, full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. That was all. Oh, I got cotton mouth.
Well, thank you so much, sis, for reading that scripture. I just want to tell you that I just can't tell you enough, Leslie, how proud I am of you. You have me. I remember you last year when we first started this thing. I mean, where you have come is just such a blessing. I mean, even the way you read, you just exude more confidence. And I praise the Lord right now for what he's done in your life, sister. All right, now let's move on to, let's see, I got somebody up here. Let's see, where, oh, okay, that's everybody. Unless Stephanie can talk. Can you talk, Miss Stephanie? I just want to sing a song before we get off here. What a day that will be when our Jesus we shall see. As I look upon his face, The one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Remember this one. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more sorrow over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when our Jesus we shall see. As I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes us by the hand and leads us through that promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. I got to tell you guys a quick story. I had a flashback while I was singing. There's two people that God allowed me to be with them when they crossed over into glory. That's my mother and this 101-year-old man. I actually wrote a song about the experience with the 101-year-old man. When I was praying for people on their deathbed, my very first assignment when God threw me in the pit back in 2013. And when I laid hands on him in the nursing home and began praying for him, God catapulted me into heaven to see this man walking into heaven with Jesus. I was there and I saw this man was royalty. He was nothing but a servant in the earth. He served one church, five pastors, and did anything they wanted to do. He washed the toilets. He'd be a greeter. Whatever they wanted, he was a lowly servant. But when he made it to heaven, first of all, in his nursing home room, he was so loved by his family. They were all there, all his grandkids. There's like 15 or 20 in there. And most of them are country music executives. And this man had pictures all over the wall of him and his family. He had his wife there. She was 92. She was in a wheelchair holding his hand when he took his last breath. I mean, I got to see it. What a day that is really going to be. Because when he entered into glory, the angels were there bowing and welcoming him. And I was shaking from head to toe. My body was still in the earth, but my spirit was over there. The Lord allowed me to see this. And I was shaking, saying, "He's royalty. He's royalty. This man is royalty." And I was talking to Jesus in front of all them people, his family. And I was like, "Lord, who is this man? Wow, what a story he must have." You know, and I was like, "Oh, I'm so thankful for his life and what he's done and the impact he's had on these children and grandchildren and the community. I don't know, but it's obviously wonderful," you know. And so I was having this conversation. The other one was with my mother. She had hit her head and had a brain bleed, so she went into a coma. So she was in a coma about 3 or 4 hours before she passed. And so all the family had the chance, you know, to get up there. So we was all holding her. And we was singing Amazing Grace, and then Jesus walked in the room. I felt him as plain as day. And I told my mother, because I've learned when they're in comas, they're still alive in there. They can still hear you. It's just that their body cannot react. So the Lord taught me this. So I told my mother, I said, Mama, Jesus is here to get you. And then my brother said, Mama, it's okay. You can go now. And when he said that, she took her last breath, and we all got to witness that moment. And she left with Jesus. What a day that's going to be. All the suffering we've been through, all the things we're about to go through. I mean, that day, that royal moment of time when we crossed over from this old evil world into glory forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever.